Some people actually they like to comment and they like to say stuff as, why do you ask this question? Why? And why? I'm not curious about that. I'm curious about this and that and ask that and this. And I'm like, okay, do you want my mic? Try to get it if you want to ask that question. What's up, dear team? I hope everybody is well. And yes, as you can hear, this is another English episode because our new team member today is from Turkey. The story about how her and I met is literally so special to me personally because it is the epitome, basically, of what this whole podcast project is all about, which is women supporting women, women uplifting each other and standing together. Our conversation in this episode is about her rocking her job in front of the camera, about personal growth, about the fact that everything in life should be fun and organic. You're going to hear that word a couple of times. Further about making right choices and trusting the universe. She has a story to tell about that one too, which I loved. And yes, overall, this was just a very energizing, heartwarming, and inspiring encounter for me. And as always, I would love to hear your feedback, and I dearly hope that you find a couple of things in this episode as well that help you, or touch you, or inspire and motivate yourself. Would be the biggest goal, obviously. And yeah, if you have not done so, please reach out to us, to my team, over social media, for example, or follow us on Instagram, subscribe to the podcast on your preferred platform. We would love to grow, and I would say no more talks for now. Thank you again for being part of the team, girl. We are so proud to have you. And now the stage is yours, Denise Aksoy. Oh my God, I can so well relate to this, Denise, for real. Oh my God. Okay, let's get into that in just a little second though. But before we get deeper into that, because you know, it definitely says a lot about where you come from, what your work is, and
right,
and all of that. It's time to properly introduce you to the audience. So welcome to the show, Denise Aksoy. Maybe I pronounce it not 100% correct.
No, you pronounce it 100% correctly. Like, oh, actually, you're the first person who can, as a foreign person, you're the first one who said it like correctly, 100% correctly. Amazing. Congratulations.
It's the connection. It's the connection.
Yeah, I know. It's the connection.
And my interview partners and team members, which is actually how I call you, always have to introduce themselves first, you know, on like a FIFA card, or like, what are the most important facts about Denise? Shoot.
Okay, so the most important facts about Denise are, I like everything to be organic, everything to be fun, everything to be entertaining, since we are having so many, like such a difficult times and so many problems in our lives, daily lives. Sport is an entertainment. So that's why it's like talking about in a, such a serious way will never help us or won't affect us in a good way. That's why we have to laugh. We have to know the business, we have to know the sports, and we have to know the game. And that's what I am very taking care of, my business and of myself, of my career, of my life, that, you know, I'm straight. I'm straightforward, but at the same time, I'm funny. I love to be myself. I don't like to be fake. I don't like to have the fake smiles and fake conversations. And Denise is like that. Denise is just, you know, it's just fun. That's how I call it.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I would maybe add you're very open too, because that's how we actually ended up talking here today.
Exactly.
And maybe, right? And maybe for those people who don't know the name yet, because obviously I have a broader German audience as well. And maybe you can tell us about your job, because you already mentioned, you know, my business and the mic. So what is the business you're talking about, and what's the mic? What's going on over there?
Okay, so the mic is my my one and only boyfriend, I can call it like that, that I hold or that I put out here to record my voice all the time. That helps my voice to be out there. And yes. So my business is actually, it's only basketball and Formula One. And I, you know, Lisa, I used to say this all the time, since I was a kid. I was like, I don't like soccer. I don't like to talk about football. But we call soccer as a football in Turkey. I don't like to talk about football. I don't like to, you know, I don't like to watch football. I don't like to hear about football. I love basketball. And I think basketball is the best and the best and the best. So, you know, I trained my brain like
that.
That's
so funny.
Might be I trained my brain like that since I, you know, never wanted to approach to that game as football. And so Denise grew up in a basketball environment because of my father. So I grew up in a basketball industry. My father used to be the doctor of FS Pilsen since I was the kid.
No way.
Yeah, since I was like, when I was born, I was going to that, you know, gym every day with my father, because my mom and my father, they're both doctors. So my mom was going to her hospital for her work, and then my father used to take me with him to the gym. So I grew up actually,
so cool,
like literally with basketball. And then I studied in an Italian high school in Turkey, and then I got a scholarship.
Italian high school?
Yeah, Italian high school in Turkey, in
no
Istanbul.
Way.
Yeah, yeah. And I got a scholarship from Milan, from Università Cattolica, the Catholic University in Milano. And then I went there. I stayed in Milan for 10 years. And I worked there. You know, I studied. I had my, you know, my 10-year out there as a female who is stepping in an industry of basketball. And then 2 years ago, now it's like 1.5 years, but 2 years ago, I was transferred to Esport TV in Turkey, which is the,
yes,
which is the, I think, and I honestly think that's not where I, why I work, but I really think the best TV channel of the sports in Turkey. I transferred there because mm-hmm. we're the broadcasters of NBA, Euro Cup, WNBA, NCAA, Formula One, Premier League, you know, all of those. The best leagues in the world. Bundesliga as well, by the way.
Look at you.
But you know, Denise doesn't like football. That's why I, you know, for me.
I was just going to ask, do you still cover like Champions League and Bundesliga though? Or are you only basketball and Formula One?
Only basketball and Formula One. So what I...
Only, right? Only.
Only, yeah. So what I do is I have a radio show, which is called Assist with Denise Aksoy. I have a digital platform show. It's like a digital application.
Yes.
And it's called 101 with Denise Aksoy. And I have another show, which is like the one and only basketball talk show out here. And it's called 3 Saniye. And the name comes from a 3-second violation. And I had actually a guest from Germany who was Wade Baldwin. Like 2 or 3 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So cool.
It's cool.
So, yeah.
I have the guests and then, you know, I talk about basketball and their lives and then their perspective and all of that.
That is so cool, Denise. I didn't know you spend, let's say, most of your life basically in Italy. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So you're, well, fluent is probably not even enough to say, right?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
I guess. Uh-huh. That's so cool.
Yeah, thank
so,
you.
So international, so open-minded, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
And maybe you can explain to our listeners right now how you actually managed to get into this area of hosting and presenting, because I know that for a fact, actually, that there are a lot of girls out there who would love to pursue this kind of path in terms of career, but mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a regular, and I'm not trying to say that in a disrespectful way, obviously, but you know, not like a regular 9-to-5 job.
Of course.
But actually, you know, mm-hmm. that's only like one position, like every cable or TV channel or station, you know, actually has available. So how did you pursue to get into that field of work?
So since I, you know, before getting into this business or job or the title of the TV presenter, I yeah. watched many games, and I watched how the players' lives are. I watched from a different perspective. You know, I did not watch as an audience or as a sport lover or basketball lover. I watched from a very specific and different perspective. And I was like, Denise, mm-hmm. do you want to be in this industry? Like, do you want, because I'm a curious person. I studied media. I studied journalism, and then I wanted to, you know, put everything together, what I love in my life. So I love basketball because I grew up with basketball, and I was like, okay, so I need to get like some specific points from this thing, which is basketball, and I have to watch from a different perspective. So I watched the bench, I watched the game, I understand the game, I understand the terms of the game, I understand the refs, I understand the coach. So no one can completely understand, but I try to understand, you know, I try to see from a different vision. I try to see the players, I try to see the mother of the players, father, uncle, girlfriend, wife, best friend, you know, like everything. And then I collected specific things, and then I put it in my work. And that's why I wanted to create this basketball TV show, which is called Üç Saniye, that I'm doing, and it was the first one which I started with, and this is how I even told this to my boss. I'm like, it will be something different because I believe in myself. I'll put like two episodes. If you like, we'll keep going. If not, you know, we'll stop. And an audience liked it, my boss liked it, my manager liked it, the owner of the TV channel liked it. So that's, yeah. But I put a lot of work, Lisa, like I put a lot of effort, you know, I was always being myself, and I listened, yeah. I watched, and I did not try to fool myself with the fact that, oh, you know, but people are doing it in there and they're better and they can be better, but that girl can do it, that boy can do it too. But no, I never, and also it's about my personality. I don't look important. What the others do, what the others says. That's why it cannot affect me, because that's what I want to do, that's what I'm going to do, and that's what I'm aiming to do, you know? I always look from that thing, and you know, being yourself is the one and only key. Like, you just be yourself. You, if you want to do this job, be yourself. Know, have the knowledge. This isn't rule number one. Have the knowledge, but yes, have also yes. the extras, because everyone can have a knowledge, you know? If I call, I don't know, 100 people from a basketball industry, they would even know that, you know,
they know the facts.
The facts, yeah. What the 3-second violation is, what a technical foul is, you know, everything. But you have to know also some, you know, different points. Yeah,
definitely. And I totally love how you started out with saying, like, I'm confident like about myself, I'm confident about what I do, or I think you said, I believe in myself, or I believe in what I do. That's like the major thing that has to be there. That's like the base of everything. But that's, unfortunately, especially looking at women in the sports industry, that's not the common sense. That's not where we're at, you know, looking at the majority of ladies out there. So what would you think, or what do you say, what would you say is the most crucial thing regarding your confidence? Is it just a natural thing? Did you work on that? Did you ever have, you know, looking back to where you're coming from, like lows maybe where you're like, damn.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe you were comparing yourself or doubting yourself.
Yeah, but I want to start my words about this thing with the fact how we met, how I, you know, reached out to you.
Yeah.
I was watching, because I watch every single EuroLeague game, and you know, there was this girl out there in Germany, in Munich, that is asking amazing questions, because, you know, there are so many females in our industry and I love how they put an effort. But I think only for me, before knowing you, that girl puts a lot of effort because she can ask, and she asks because no one is telling her to ask that. And it's obvious that no one is warning her, or no mm-hmm. one is just, you know, giving her tips, because she's asking with a great English, with a great confidence, with a great knowledge. And this really, really impressed me about you. And right after the season was over, that after that game, which was the last game in Munich, if I'm not mistaken, I posted a whole essay on my Instagram story.
You did.
I did. And I was like,
the sweetest.
Because I have followers from Europe, from Greece, from Italy, from Turkey, and I wanted to make sure that this girl is the best in EuroLeague with the questions, with the confidence, with, you know, with because you ask a question to receive the question that which you wanted, you know, and it's obvious. And it's really impressed me. And I'm like, do you know her name? Who is that girl?
By the way, that was so crazy. Like, first I read your DM actually saying like, oh, just wanted to reach out and say that I really love your work. And I was so touched, because that happens like sometimes, obviously, but not in that extent, not to that like honest mm-hmm. Amount of, I don't know, just appreciation. And actually, like, as I posted that, my friends were reaching out to me and going like, oh my God, she's the sweetest. That's so cool. Like, even look at her effort that she put out there in order to connect.
Yeah.
Bless you. Thank you. It actually meant the world.
No,
really.
But no, you're welcome, because it is what it is. And I hope and I wish that I can see more Lisas out there, or more Denises out there, you know, that are doing their jobs with the knowledge. And what I wanted to say was, yeah, so, you know, I wanted to show the world, show the audience what I think about my colleague, who is a female, who I have no idea what her name is, or, you know, where she is, or how she looks like. I don't know. But I want to make sure that people can understand the effort, the work, the ethical attitude when she does her work. Unknown person that does her work,
yeah,
back
yeah,
in that
yeah.
time, because I didn't know you. And so the confidence is just, you know, it comes with the knowledge, and I strongly believe that it comes with the knowledge. It comes with the vision which you have since you are growing up, from the time that you're growing up, with the, you know,
yeah.
languages, the I don't know, number the languages which you know, which you can speak, countries which you've been to, the works which you have been doing, you know, because when I was going to the Italian high school, I didn't need the money, thank God, that time. But me and my other friend, who's called Jasmine, me and her, when we were 14, we wanted to work in a Italian restaurant in Istanbul as a waitress, just to see
uh-huh.
how the Italian culture can affect the Turkish people, you know? And so, you know, mm-hmm. Since I was a kid, I always wanted to work. I always wanted to help. I always wanted to gain good things for me and for my life.
I love that.
And
yes.
I think that's what makes people to have that confidence, because I'm not ashamed of putting a plate in front of a person who is a CEO when I'm 14. You know, I'm not ashamed of asking a question. I'm not ashamed of, for me, if I do something good, there's no point to ashame of, and there's the point of being the confidence.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
I really love this. And as you're describing it, it's a lot about growing and, you know,
yeah.
always staying curious and always you know, just collecting new experiences. And that's actually how, you know, you grow. You stay maybe calm in situations that before could have made you nervous or something. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's, I think, how you grow as a person and you grow your confidence as well.
Definitely. And, you know, and also my family helped me a lot because they... And I think this is also the key. I was talking about this with a friend. I was saying him, if I'll become as a mother, I would never say no to my kid in a you know, straight and a strict way. I would try to question him or her. I would try to understand. Mm-hmm. That's because that's what my family did to me. Like, they questioned me, they tried to understand, and if it's a bad thing, they would say no. But if it's with the reasons, but you know, just you know, it's like our business, Lisa. Trying to understand people with questioning.
Definitely,
questions are important. If you really mean to ask that question, they're the lifesaver and game changer, actually.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And that's maybe this could be the point where we come back to the very beginning where you were, you know, explaining how people love to question your questions or to judge your questions or whatever. Obviously, as a sideline reporter who I am myself, I have been working for the Bundesliga, I've been working for EuroLeague and for German basketball as well. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's like the top one thing people like to, I don't know, just like put on the spot, because everyone, you know, who's watching always, you know, as you said, would like to know something else or feels like the question was stupid or whatever. So why do you think that is? What's your experience around that statement?
So I've been also the sideline reporter for Euro Cup, for the basketball World Cup Championship FIBA in China. And Euro Cup and some also Italian league games. I did that job. And what I understand is it's not about like questioning a specific person. Is questioning, it's like you question, right? You ask a question, and then if you ask a regular question and for you it's a good question, people are like, but in the news there's this going on, why don't you ask him this? But it doesn't have to do with anything, that if you ask that question, because it doesn't have to do anything with a game which has been played back in that
yes.
time. So, you know, they want to have the scoops. They want to have the rumor. They want to have like a, you know, like something that they can be like, okay, yeah, and this has to be, you know, said. And now he's saying this. But it's not like that. It's people don't understand this. Some coaches, some players, as we both know, they don't like to have or no. been asked those questions.
Anything.
And it can...
They want to play. They want to do their job. And they know being in the interview situation is part of their job. But still,
exactly.
There are a lot of people out there who just hate that.
So I had this interview with James Harden. I think it was like 2 months ago. And I had only one question to ask because of the NBA rules, right?
Yeah,
I asked him a question about the goals after the season because he was injured, and you know, so many people asked him about his injury. So I'm like, okay, what question has not been asked? Okay, this one. So let me ask this. We published it, and you know, some people are, oh my god, some people, the half of the people, they say, oh my god, James Harden, wow, amazing thing for the Turkish people, for the Turkish basketball media, da-da-da-da, you know, like that's how the normal, regular people can think.
Yeah.
Some.
Other 50%.
But 50%? Okay, why did you ask this? We don't care about the future. Why do you do this? Okay, I would ask that. I would ask this question. Oh, that. And I'm reading, but you know, I'm reading and I'm smiling because people literally put an effort to write that bad comments. They put it, yeah. They spent time, you know, it's like 30 seconds, that.
They read it, they made up their mind, they put
it
into words.
They, you know, they press the buttons, they it's a work for them, because they're, it's a work.
Obviously.
Negativity, but some people, they get their energy from negativity, and I'm very sad for them. I'm really sad for them. They love that. They love, because this is not what they want to live like. That's why I'm feeling sorry for them, because they're not glad about something. I don't know specifically, but obviously that they're not glad at one point from their lives and of their lives that they can write and put that effort, negative effort, on that thing. And then, you know, it happens to you and it happens to me. It happens to the female colleagues. And it happens a lot to the female, by the way. I think that's what I think. Because we are in a men's industry, men's world. Major, like not all the time, it's a men's world. But, obviously. You know, like majority is a men's world. And they think that, okay, it's a girl, vulnerable, shy. Can do that. It cannot think in the way that we think.
And then she dresses like this. Why does she dress like this? Why is she not dressing like that?
Why is she having that top on? Or why is she having high heels on? Or, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she's talking to this player, or maybe she's talking to this coach, or maybe she's, maybe that's why that, okay, she follows him, but she didn't. People love to, the assumptions for them is a good thing that they get, you know, their, I don't know, energy from. But you and me, at one point, we're like, okay, what's the next interview? We don't care. We just don't look back. I don't care if I had an interview with James Harden, LeBron James, I don't know, Magic Johnson. Or, because next, what? Next. New generation of basketball is coming up. So I have to also, you know, get Luka Doncic or get another Wade, or get Wade Baldwin or Lucic or any. Like, there's a generation that is coming right now up. So I don't look back. I don't look back to the bad comments, but I'm feeling again and again sorry about those people who are putting a negative energy and effort into what we do, because it won't affect me, it will affect them, obviously.
Definitely. Has it been like that for you ever since you have started working in front of the camera, though? Because I'm just looking back to like my first videos, to my first recordings, and obviously people will go like, oh, you're great. And someone else will be like, oh, but you look so insecure. Or what we just said, like, why are you wearing that top? Or look at your hair in that one. And, you know, getting unfiltered feedback, and it's not getting feedback on a regular work, you know, it's not like a presentation or something, it's actually you they're talking about. In the beginning, I definitely didn't know how to deal. I took that personally. I thought about this after it was over. I took it home. Obviously, I had to develop being, you know, wanting to work in front of the camera. You do need to find a way in order to deal with that, in order to let it go. Because otherwise, as you said, you're going to focus on the wrong things. Mm-hmm. You're not going to progress. So looking back to your first job, how was that?
Looking back to my first job, but you know what? I started being in front of the camera in here in Turkey 2 years ago. So before I was coming here, I was obviously following, you know, how the females or how people are here in Turkey. And honestly, I think it's the first time where I'm going to say this, but honestly, I still think like this, that there's no one has better English or has better presentation than I think, and I assumed back that time, than I do. You know, it gives me.
I like
In Turkey, I mean, I would love to see. You know, I would love to see more and more people. It would make me even happy, because it's not a competition, but it's like she does this, and I love it. I can do something. Like, I might do.
Yes.
You know, it's not even
representation matters.
Exactly. You know, and it's not even just, you know, evaluating. It's just seeing and then knowing that. Also, there's someone who's very similar to you in here, right? In the same country, in the same place, in the same industry, that it would give even more confidence to me. But back in that time, I was shy. Lisa, I was shy, but I wasn't showing that. And but I was, you know, I was being confident with my English, with my knowledge of basketball, with the knowledge of the of the game. So I was, but now when I look back, I was a different than this Denise. And when I will look, well, you know, in 5 years, if I go back and listen to this podcast, I will be like, Maybe yes and maybe no, but you know, some parts are different, obviously, because people change and
people grow, as we said.
But you know, with what you said as bringing work back to the home, is one time I came home, I was a bit down because of, you know, like something happened during the show.
Something went wrong,
but it wasn't something which was big, but it was something wrong for me and it disturbed me. And I was like, okay, how am I going to clean my mind? How am I going to meditate in a way that, you know, I won't think?
Yeah.
I put animation movies. Perfect. You know, it's like blank, but at the same time, it won't make me think that, you know, in any way. It's like a blank. And that time I understood kids. Kids, they love to be, you know, they love to keep calm. They love to be calm. They love to be, you know, loved, or they love to feel love like they're like. And that's why is animation helps. And that's how I started to watch animations again after I had
no
a problem.
Way.
I swear.
So what are you watching? What's the key there? I might start.
Yeah,
the next time
I was
I'm down
watching Shrek. You know, Shrek.
Huh.
I was watching.
Love it.
I was loving how the donkey was acting. I was loving how the Fiona was hiding her, you know, ugliness from Shrek. From like, it was nice. It was really nice.
That's a good tip right there.
Yeah, exactly. If you have a problem one day, please just.
I'll put on Shrek and think of you for sure.
Exactly. Put on Shrek. Yeah. Yeah.
I will. 100%. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And actually, Denise, I would like to. We kind of lost our track a little here, but I would love for you to explain to me a little bit how the Turkish sports world is actually working right now. So you have a very broad and international horizon and mindset. Obviously me working in English as well, I do touch more than just, you know, the German interview partners and stuff like that as well, but still I wouldn't say that I really have a feeling for the Turkish sports culture very much. So maybe you can explain that a little to us, and always keep in mind, like, as you already like briefly touched as well, what the role of the women in that industry is like today.
So today's not today, actually, it has been like that all the time in Turkey, that Turkey is a country where the football is number one. You know, like it's number one. It's not like it's not even debatable that is number one, because if there is this big derby, you cannot see more than 5 cars in one highway, you know, because everyone is watching. And even if you look inside of the car, that car during that game,
they're watching it.
So it's like, it's football is just like, you know, how Lithuania, how Kaunas, the second religion, that's what they say. Second religion is basketball. Out here, it's football. And that's why commentators, that's why majority, I'm again talking about the majority. But that's why the commentators or the TV presenters in the sports industry, they do more football than they do basketball, volleyball, tennis, or Formula One, you know? Why in basketball, there are specific people, like specific females and specific
experts.
Exactly. Commentators in Turkey who do only basketball. And also in Formula One, there's only one guy who's the legend, Serhan Acar, like amazing, you know, number one, that commentates about Formula One in our channel. So, but football, I don't want to say everybody, but who has the knowledge again and again, they can go up there, and if they have the fame and they can talk about football and people watch it and people would love to watch it every day. And there's this also, there's this football show on this channel that, you know, 4 or 5 guys, they sit on a chair and they just make fun of the football players, they make fun of the positions, they make fun of the refs and all of that, but in a respectful way. But it's the number one show in Turkey.
And you said 5 guys, so no ladies involved in that one?
No.
Okay, just collecting information.
Thank you so much for asking this, because no. And it's sad. It's really sad, you know. And I think ladies should put the confidence, as since we've been talking about confidence a lot, out there, and just, you know, not be shy about anything, or not being shy about saying anything, and just be there with their own knowledge, own presence, but themselves, you know. It's good to see. But some people, obviously, maybe it happens to you too, but they get scared and afraid of being humiliated sometimes.
I mean, that's the risk always, you know. Firstly, working in front of any type of camera in the public eye, obviously, that's, you always run risk of being humiliated or exposed in some way.
Yeah.
But then, you know, being the minority in any type of group always, you know, comes also with just a little feeling of, you know, being the only one, and you need a little more confidence or more courage than, you know, belonging to the bigger group.
Mm-hmm.
But are there any female reporters in football at all?
Yeah, there are, obviously. There are, I think, 4 or 5 female, like, main, and they're doing amazing jobs. But yeah, you know.
Still long way to go.
Yeah, still long way to go. Still, and you know, and I, as you said, I also receive many messages from young ladies who want to become as, you know, sports, I don't know, reporter, or the TV presenter, or radio broadcaster, like broadcaster. They ask, how do you do like this? You know, the main question is how am I going to involve? Obviously, it's a question that how am I going to get into this business that they're very curious of.
Yeah.
But the question also, the main question is, how do you keep doing it? You know, what do you do daily? What do you do? They love to, you know, see the Instagram stories sometimes about my day, and they're like, okay, so you don't sleep and you don't go, because you wake up early and go to this and yoga and running, and then you do the interviews, and don't you lose the energy? And sometimes I answer and I say, you know, it's not about losing the energy, because since you love it, you do it, there's always, it feeds your energy more and more.
Definitely, so much.
It's so much, it's just the best. And you know, with some of my basketball player friends, I say, they're like, oh, you know, the game is over, I'm so tired, and you know, my mind is just so tired, and I'm, you know, that, like, down. And I'm like, why do you play basketball? And I ask them sometimes, why? It won't make you feel good. Yeah, Denise, but it's just a daily thing right now that, you know, you have to. Some players are like that, but some players are like, okay, I won. Okay, what do we do? And what am I going to do today? Okay, bring the friends and do this and go there, or, you know, talk with the family. And it's just, it's like two different energy.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can imagine that the girls asking you, like, how are you doing it? Also, what, like, are asking themselves the same questions that I've been asking to you as well. Because, you know, if you're resting in your power and in your confidence, you can do anything. Then work doesn't feel like work.
Exactly.
Then you're right where you belong, where you feel like you belong. Then you're not, you know, wondering if you're exposed, or you're not feeling exposed, but you're actually ready to, I don't know, confront anyone who comes at you or whatever. So
exactly,
confidence is really the base for everything.
Yeah, exactly. I strongly believe in that. And then I believe also confidence comes with the knowledge, as we've said. It's just, you know, you have to read, you have to watch, you have to listen. And I say this because it's trending sickness of this new generation, that they pretend that they listen, but they don't listen. And because they're being lazy to listen. And I see it on TV all the time, that, you know, a girl or a guy who's like a presenter about anything, lifestyle, politics, or money, or they just get the cards. It's just like, you know, imagine I have the cards here, and then they're like, they're like, you know, they ask a question to the guest and the guest answers. But meanwhile, they're just like, they're lost. They don't listen. They don't react.
Or focusing on their next question. Exactly.
And they're like, okay, the next question is, So where did you start? You know, it's just, it's not a communication. That's why they cannot move one step ahead.
Oh, very well said.
It's not the thing. And that's what I, you know, try to do. I never, not even in my one, I've done more than 100 interviews or more than, I don't know, 200. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I have never looked at my card in one interview. Like I, because I can't do that, because I have to listen to him. I have to study him before I have him as a guest. And you know, everything grow organically. That's why I mentioned as an organic. Everything has to be organic in what you're doing. That's what I
believe. That's so good. And then looking ahead, Denise, what do you think could be your organic future? Do you have like big goals for yourself, for your career?
I don't have. I have, obviously. I want to go very international in my career and in my life. It's not about based on one place, actually. It's not based on, I don't know, Dubai or Russia or Africa. It's not based on somewhere. I want to just move a lot. And that's why, actually, I had a job offer 2 months ago. And it was an amazing offer, you know. It was one of the best. And I said no. I said, and they're like, what? Why no? And I said,
yeah, why?
Because I don't want to be stable.
You don't want to be in one place?
I don't want to be in one place. That's why I'm doing three different things in three different places. And, you know, that's why I love my managers. I love my bosses that they, you know, allow me to do it. But that's how we agreed. And because it keeps me going and going, because showing different parts, doing different things, it's just more exciting, even from an audience side, even from like, oh, she does this or he does this. Oh, okay. Oh, and then this one too. Oh, okay. And that one too. Yeah, and with my energy, because I like to move, and since I, you know, we're maybe I assume from your job that, you know, we would talk about the mottos, or we would talk about you know, philosophical things about the life quotes, that I want to mention this right now since we're talking about this, that my motto is universe claps for every single action. So universe has, like, universe's palms are ready to clap whenever you move about anything. Is all the time is action, moving, you know, doing this. That's why it keeps, like, my energy is always focusing on that. If I do this, that's why I said next. What is next? What is next?
Because that
keeps me alive. If I'm stuck on the, I don't know, that LeBron James interview
or
and I'll be like, okay, I did network. LeBron James interview, and I'm just, you know, it won't help. And I said this, and I'm always saying this about also the players, about the player lives, that, you know, I'm the rebounding king. I'm the blocking. I'm the score. I'm the most amazing. Like, and I'm like, why don't you do more? Why don't you do more? You know, why are you keep saying this?
Why are you only the rebounding king and not the
assisting king as well? Or blocking king as well, you know?
It's
always, and I've never seen LeBron James, or rest in peace, Kobe Bryant, being like, who is better than me? Or who is just acting in that way. They're always like, what's next? What's next? That's the philosophy. That's what the mindset should be like. I think, I don't know. That's what I think. Obviously, I don't think. I'm not saying that it's the right thing, but that's what my perspective is. And that's what my mindset is, that, you know, it gives me energy. And I think that universe is clapping for everything, that I'd rather to clean my house than laying down, you know? That's what my, because if you, in Turkey, we say, I don't know how to translate, but I'm going to, you know, try to translate.
Just try,
it.
Yeah. Like, go as it comes.
Like, if you keep being lazy, you even get lazier than before. Like, laziness.
Right?
And
100%.
That's what I think. That's what I strongly believe, that, you know, universe claps for the movements.
I love it, Denise. And let me actually look at my little, like, I don't even know how to call these,
my little thingies here. I always pick the categories out of those. Usually you could do it.
Okay.
But since we're not in the same room, I have to do it for us.
Okay.
And as you were just, you know, talking about your life motto, which I really enjoy, I picked the head coach category, which is the category in which I would like you to share with us if there is maybe a person in your life or maybe a group or, I don't know, a process or something. Someone actually answered with a running here, who, you know, always keeps you motivated or with your two feet on the ground, or have or has helped you in the past in difficult situations, or, you know, preparing you with a model like this for life.
You want me to tell you like a one person?
Well, whatever comes up for you. If it's one person, that's cool. If it's a group, that's cool. If it's running or whatever, that's cool.
For me, it's always my father that, you know, that head coach that
really
gives me, yeah. And because, you know, we have a similar personalities, and he's always like motivate. He loves to motivate. When he's down, he's very down like me, but he gets up quickly, you know? And like, it's just my father that keeps me, like, he even told me when I got this big offer from this, you know, big company, and he said, just listen to your heart. It doesn't matter, like, if you work for them and if you do this and if the whole turkey will watch you every day, it doesn't matter. But if you don't want your energy to be lost, then say no. And I said no, because that was the right thing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, because just
taking away pressure, supporting unconditionally there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Unconditionally. That is right. Unconditionally support. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Is there maybe one certain or like a second story that comes to your mind where your dad gave you very valuable advice?
Oh, yeah. I was preparing for the high school exams. So, and I wanted to study in a German high school before. And but I couldn't. So I was trying to, you know, get more points or more, you know, right answers in the exam. And that day when the exam was over, I calculated, I've seen, and I said, there's no way, like, impossible for me to get in a German high school. But for the Italian high school, I could get in, or for the French high school, I can, but the German high school, I could not.
Crazy.
I went home. I was crying. My father was like, Denise, let's go. Let's just drive around. And then, and you know, in Istanbul, there are like hills that you can see the Bosphorus. So we stopped the car. We were inside of the car and we were looking to see. And my name is Denise, by the way. Denise means sea.
Yeah. So it's, I actually Googled that.
You Googled that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And, it's so cool.
And so we were looking at Denise, and he's like, so I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at two Denises, you know, also that sea and you. And wow. Imagine the power that this sea has. You have the same power. You have a great future that is just with lots of chances and lots of, you know, opportunities. And God knows what's the best for you. You can call it as God, as energy, as Allah, as Jesus, as whatever you call it. It's the biggest energy that you can have. And He gives you what is right for you if you have a good heart. If you use your heart, if you use everything, the potentials that you have, your future is bright. No worries. For the German high school, Italian high school, Turkish, Spanish, doesn't matter which high school, you're going to do the best. And believe in to yourself. You've done everything that you could have possibly done. And from now on, whatever you do, you're going to do it in the best way. So no worries.
Lost my headphones on the very last word, but that's so beautiful. Oh my God, bless your dad.
Right, it was really...
That is...
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that was...
I can imagine that you will never forget that moment, nor that speech.
Wow. Yeah, I would never forget that. Really, never forget that. No, it was the best.
That is so cool. So you guys are very close as well, I can imagine.
We are super. Mm-hmm. Me, my mom, my father. I have a brother who's studying in Switzerland, and he's studying law. That's why, like, he's always, you know, on a mission that he studies a lot. And he studies in German as the one and only international person in
That's
his
so
university.
Cool.
Exactly. So, you know, yeah, He's working hard right now. We cannot see him a lot, only from FaceTime. Mm-hmm. But yeah, me, my mom, my dad, and my brother, so close.
And a hardworking family, as I'm hearing out of that. I really like that.
Yeah.
Very inspiring.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Of course.
And as we're speaking, I'm drawing the next, it's shootout. It's actually the wrong way for you, right?
No, it's the right way, shootout.
Okay, shootout. That's our next category. It's a little shootout that we're gonna do. It's a little quick question round. Are you ready for that one? Live show or recorded show?
Live show.
Why?
Because it's more organic.
It is. You're so right. Rather alone in the studio. Well, I'll start over.
Okay.
Rather alone in the studio or with an interview partner or a co-host.
Alone.
Why that?
Because
I would have definitely said with a partner, because I feel like that's more organic.
Really? Why?
Yeah.
No, I mean alone with a guest, right? Alone with a person who I'm going to interview with.
Ooh, no, I was like, rather you and the camera or and a person.
No, me and the person in the studio. No, it's more organic. Yeah.
More organic.
Yeah.
Same answer.
Yeah.
Studio or sideline?
Ooh, that's hard. If it's a long show, studio. If it's a short show in studio, obviously sideline.
Yeah. There's just more going on, right?
Yeah.
More organic again.
Again.
We can use that for every single answer.
Yeah, this,
so real,
this podcast's name should be organic.
Yes. I should just change it, or just the episode. So good. Favorite moment in your career so far?
Favorite moment in my career. When Lewis Hamilton got the 8-time world championship and I was the one who interviewed him. It was just, wow.
I can imagine. We haven't talked about Formula One at all, which is one of my big passions as well.
Wow.
We're going to get to that later. I can imagine.
It was the best.
Sick one.
Yeah, sick one.
You know, I actually wrote down football or basketball. We covered that one. So I'm going to switch that one up to basketball or Formula One.
Basketball.
But still, I think I know the answer. Yeah. You're such a basketball lover.
Nothing can
reach out to that.
I am.
Also, we kind of covered that the next one too. Imagine you got a day off. What's the first thing you do to wind down?
I'm
not sure if you ever wind down, but
exactly, that's what I was thinking. But running, walking, having a good breakfast, you know, or yoga, or I don't know, anything, but always on a mission. I will
but not
sleep.
Really winding down.
Yeah, not laying down, definitely
so good.
Not.
If you could pick one sports event that you could host, which one would it be?
That I'm the only host.
You can draw the picture, whatever your mind is doing.
I think that would be my first is Formula One. The other one is NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then you mean, well, you are in Formula One already, but you mean as in like one show.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would
That's
love
so
to
cool.
do. Yeah.
And NBA, obviously.
And NBA, obviously.
As a basketball lover that you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Has to be the answer.
Exactly.
So good.
Yeah.
Are you following one NBA team specifically?
Specifically, no, but this season, Utah Jazz, they're the best. And Brooklyn Nets. And Brooklyn Nets.
The Nets. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're really rocking.
Yeah.
And then let's just briefly, we're also slowly but surely moving to the end of our episode here. What does Formula One mean to you? Because, like, I don't know when I started falling for Formula One, maybe like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, yeah. But I am in love, really. It's just such a great sport. And I feel like coming from a background of ball sports and team sports, mm-hmm. coming into racing, it's such a different aspect of, you know, teamwork and understanding high pressure situations and like expectations to every single person on the team. And then, you know, being a team, but at the same time being competitors, it's just one of a kind. So
exactly.
Then you can take us a little bit into the, onto the grid, actually.
For me, Formula One is just like speed, you know, it's like, you can never find that amount and that fast speed in any kind of sport, you know? Like, you cannot. It's just, it's crazy. It's technical. It's obviously with the machines. It's not that, you know, it's a self-made, you know, sport with the full physicality and full athleticism. Mm-hmm. But it has a huge effort from a racer point that, you know, you sit in a car, you lose kilos, like you lose from your body
after a race.
Like you are losing water, kilos, like I don't know, like vitamins, minerals that you have to, because it's, you're sweating during doing this.
And
you are controlling one thing that with every single thing, you have to, with your vision, you have to control the wheel, you have to, exactly, you have to control the gas, you have to control the pedals, you have to control, you have to get in and change your tires, you have to control without stopping. You can stop in football, you can stop in basketball, you can stop and breathe in tennis, volleyball, you have a timeout. But you don't have a timeout in Formula One.
I've never seen it from that perspective. That's a totally new approach, but it's so real.
It is real. Yeah. Like you are racing with the same competitors every single time that you mm-hmm. are seeing it, mm-hmm. who are your friends, obviously, some few people. And you are competing with the time. Like time is your everything. Like it's just the time and the speed that you, and one lap, you know, one whole thing that you have to control. Well, many laps, but many times it's different, but
obviously
specifically one thing, one race. Yeah. And
that's so cool.
And it's just, for me, for example, watching Hamilton and talking. Also, I want to say this, 2 days ago, I told this to my friend and I'm going to say it here again, that for me, because I had an interview with the racers in Formula One, and for 3 days that I was doing with every single one, you know, with Sainz, Leclerc, Vettel, Hamilton, Ricardo, all of them. And I'm doing interviews every single with different Euro Cup, Euro League, you know, NBA, former NBA, former Euro League players or Turkish basketball players or coaches. And honestly, Lisa, it's very interesting for me to say this, but Formula One racers are the most humble sport people who I've seen in my life.
That is so interesting.
This is so interesting. They are so humble. Hamilton is just so humble. Like he does. I'm like this. You are world champion. Like you have no one that you can compete with right now in your life, that you are on top, on top of the highest mountain. And there was a rainbow above us while we were doing the interview. And I was this.
Wow. The universe was like.
Universe is like, Denise, don't stop. Look what I'm sending to you. No, but seriously, there was a rainbow after we were doing the interview, after his him being the world champion. There's a rainbow above us. You're in Turkey, Istanbul. You're the, you know, World Cup, world champion. So how do you feel? I asked him like that. And he looked
And the first time he saw the rainbow, he's like, wow, I haven't seen it. It's a rainbow. It's from God. Like, he was so surprised. I'm going to download it, by the way. I upload it on my Instagram. I want you to show it too.
I'm going
to
check it out. Yes. Yeah.
And he was like, I can't explain. I can't believe. But with his, like, it was such a natural way that he was explaining himself without...
Organic.
Without his ego. You know, I love to see more athletes, more people in a sports industry like that. That is just the main.
That is so
interesting. But I also want to mention this, that I have been saying this during my radio shows, even with my interview with Kokoschko, I mentioned his name two or three times because he's my favorite coach for the season. Mm-hmm. Because of his explanations, because of his interviews, because of the way that he is being organic, is just Andrea Trinchieri.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care. And I love it.
It's very true.
He's
amazing.
Love it. It's just amazing. And you know, I love the way that you've been asking him questions, and I love the way that because he loved those questions, and that's what I assumed.
He was doing very well on answering those, like doing me a favor, answering the way he's been answering. Sure.
Yeah, amazing. And that interview is the best interview of this season, the whole season. That, how are you going to celebrate? I'm going to drink a pool of red wine. The best thing.
Olympic swimming pool.
That was
so Olympics good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was so good.
It was just
that was so good.
So good. Yeah, the whole thing was, and it's your successes again. If you wouldn't ask that question, you wouldn't get that answer. And then that, you know, that was the best thing that basketball world in EuroLeague that heard during this season from an EuroLeague sideline interview. So,
well, I can tell you, unfortunately, he didn't. He didn't drink the Olympic swimming pool. maybe at the very end of the season at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, but that was amazing. Man. That was amazing.
That EuroLeague season was one wild ride.
Right.
But well, you know.
How do you feel? Do you feel like it's like you're sad about that it's over?
You know, I am definitely sad because it would have just been the most insane story of basketball, basically, for this team, with this character, like with this group of guys who is just so humble and nice and sweet,
right,
and organic. That would have meant everything. And like for every sports fan, that would have been the most amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Story
exactly.
To be complete, right?
Exactly.
I'm repeating myself here.
No,
but,
definitely.
On the other hand, nobody expected them to go that far. And with every next win that, you know, they, you know, obviously how we kept winning, like in the very last 2 minutes of every game.
Yeah.
With every next win, we were just like, wow, look at them. This is just so good. We were just getting prouder and prouder. And then, you know, playing game five, which ended the way it ended.
It was sad.
We were just proud. We were just proud though.
Yeah.
We were super sad in that second, but you know, in an instant, it switched to, wow, look at what they actually gave to us.
Right. I completely agree.
It was a present, really.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It was just amazing to see those, as you said, the humble guys and the coach and the whole organization, like, you know, digging to get like that thing and then just trying to get it with everything, with every single, you know, power and the sweat and the tear that they've been, you know, putting out there. It was just watching them, Zenit, for me, Bayern Munich and Zenit, watching those two teams during the playoffs. I enjoyed it a lot. The best playoff, I think, is...
Thank you.
Yeah.
I will tell the guys, for sure.
You should, yeah.
Who do you think will win EuroLeague this year, then?
I think Efes.
Really? Oh, that's a very quick answer there. You're not, like, hesitating at all.
No. I think Efes will win. I think. And I hope.
Crossing fingers for you.
Yeah.
Who do you think will come from the other semifinal, Barca or Milan?
That's the hardest. That's just...
You don't know. You're like, bro, what are you asking me here?
No, I think Barca, but Milan can surprise us too, you know? Like, because we'll Milano has many experienced players, like Kyle Hines, Sergio Rodriguez, you know, like Gigi Datome, you know. Messina created this group of players because he wanted to get the trophy. That's why he created, because he doesn't want for the next season, for the two seasons, that these guys are not young. So that's why he wants to get the trophy. He wanted to get into the finals, and that's what he achieved. But now But now I think that semifinal will be a bit interesting.
We'll see.
And Cesca is not going to be easy for FS.
Of course not. No. Like, those four teams are just high quality now.
High quality.
Really, very much.
Yeah, I know. Who you think will get the cup? Which team?
I think it's very, very hard to say. I am not as firm as you are, or not as, you know, direct with my answer there.
Okay.
It's very hard for me. It could be Barca for me.
It could be Barca, really. Yeah.
The way they won their series, like their hard fight.
Yeah.
But you know, right now, since we're out, it's like.
Yeah, I know. But like, you know,
I'm watching.
On the 30th of May, for your time, it's going to be 8:30. For my time, it's going to be 9:30 p.m. We're going to watch an amazing final. That's what I strongly believe. Like, it's going to be insane.
100%, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cool. All right then, girl, I don't have any more questions left for you. I am so grateful.
You
want to keep going? Let's keep going.
No, that's what, you know, when the guest loves the interview, he or she says, "Oh, we done? Oh, is it?"
Oh, really?
That's why I did that. I'm like, "Oh, are we done?" Because this is the best, I think.
That's so sweet.
This is one of the best interview I've ever given to a lovely,
so
lovely colleague. Seriously, thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, and again, thank you so much for reaching out that day. Really, it literally meant the world to me to be, you know, complimented the way you did.
Because
so sweet.
Because you have to get even more, like more and more. And I'm sure, you know, people are watching you, but some people are shy to do that, you know? That's what I want to believe.
You're so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. All right then, girl. Thank you so much for your time. And in my episodes, my team members always close the show with like a little pep talk to our audience. Saying or, you know, giving them a tip for their way, for their goals, how to be confident, how to believe in themselves, how to believe in their goals, and how to stay inspired and rock their lives.
Wow.
What do you got for them?
That's just...
You're like coach now.
I'm like the coach. No, but what I can say, as you know, as Denise, as not a life coach or mental coach, as only Denise Aksoy, I can say that, you know, don't be afraid of doing anything. Do with your heart. Be confident the whole time, because because you know yourself. People know you from their own perspective, and you can never change how they think about you, but you can change how how you are. And if you want to change yourself in a good way, work hard, have the knowledge, be the confidence, and just keep going with your heart, and your heart will never fool you down.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you.